This evening's reading is from James, chapter 1, and we're reading from verse 16 down to verse 27. And that is in the Pew Bibles, 8:5-7. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and, after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Amen.
You'll find it helpful to keep your Bibles open at that page and at that passage as we go through, as we refer to various things from that passage. A visiting preacher stands at the door after the service, and he shakes people's hands as they leave the church and say goodbye to them, and they give their thanks to him for his sermon. Lovely sermon, very informative, encouraging. Then a young lad comes past. Boring, he says. Others come through. Better than last week. Very challenging. To the preacher's surprise, the same lad comes up again. Too long, he says, and then walks off. Others give their opinions, thought-provoking. You made some very good points. Then the lad comes up to him a third time. Waste of time, he says, and skips off. Watching from a distance, one of the all-seeing elders notices the preacher's a little distressed, so he comes over to talk to him. He says, "Don't worry about that boy. He just repeats what everybody else is saying." We all have an opinion about the sermons we hear, don't we? Yes, we do. But what's the evidence that what we say from here, from the pulpit, from the front of the church, is the word of God? We're not here to hear a nice sermon, enjoyable as though that might be. The evidence that what we preach is God's word is changed lives. God's word should transform our lives. If this is a word from God, despite my inadequate presentation perhaps, if what I share with you from James this evening is truly God's word, and that you should think about it under the Holy Spirit's guidance, maybe talk about it with others, and then apply it to become more like Jesus. Hearing God's word should change your life. Now, we're thinking this evening about the place of God's word in the lives of his people. The place of God's word in the lives of his people. This year, as you've already heard, we're remembering the Reformation 500 years ago. Come to the answers session next Sunday to hear more about it. And the Reformation was all about returning to what the Word of God actually says, understanding that salvation only comes by grace, through faith in Jesus Christ and through his work on the cross. Morris spoke to us recently about William Tyndale, giving us the Bible in English. At our away day 3 weeks ago, our subject was reading the Bible for all it's worth. The Word of God is vital. In the word's truest sense, as it comes from the Latin word vita, which means life. It gives life. In verse 17, we read, "Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the light, the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows." God doesn't change. His character remains constant. Same with his word, because it's his word. The gospel of Jesus Christ doesn't change. No matter how much the world wants to change it, no matter how much some parts of the church want to compromise the word to please people, Peter tells us, "The word of the Lord endures forever, and this is the word that was preached as the gospel to you." That's 1 Peter 1 verse 25 from the CSB version. This is a good and perfect gift from God, the gospel of Jesus Christ. So what happens with the word of God in the life of believers? What impact does it have? What does James have to say? James, the younger brother of Jesus, now his servant, we read in verse 1, if you look back at the beginning of James, he mentions the word three times. In verse 18, he talks about the word of truth. God chose to give us birth through the word of truth. So what's the place of God's word in our lives? What impact does it have? It gives us birth. Peter again says, "For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God." 1 Peter 1 verse 23. Born again by the living and enduring, everlasting, never changing word of God. The word gives you birth. Good and perfect gift of God. He chose. It's God's sovereign choice to give us birth through his word. Like God spoke all of creation into being by a word. He's the Father of the heavenly lights. He also recreates us through the word of truth, which is the gospel of Jesus Christ. The word's planted in us as believers, second half of verse 21. "Humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you." We have to ask ourselves, has the word planted in us found good soil to grow in? Or has it found shallow soil? Or poor soil? Or soil full of weeds and thistles? Has the word been accepted fully? If we're true believers, God has planted his word in us, and he will cause it to grow. We accept the word planted in us humbly, because without it, we're dead in our sins. If you look back briefly to verses 13 to 15, which we didn't read earlier, but verses 13 to 15, James is talking to first century believers scattered around the world, falling prey to temptation. He says, "When tempted, no one should say, 'God is tempting me,' for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. Remember, God gives good and perfect gifts." Verse 14, "But each one is tempted when, by his own evil desires, he is dragged away and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, gives birth to death." We can't save ourselves. Our natural desires give birth to sin, and sin to death. But God's good and perfect gift, the word of truth, the good news of Christ, saves us and gives birth to life, new life. Jesus achieved for me what I couldn't. We need a Savior who acted on our behalf. He faced judgment on our behalf. And that's why we accept it humbly. It's a good and perfect gift of grace from God. John tells us, doesn't he, "To all who received him, To those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. That's John 1, verse 12. Being born by the word of truth is more than just believing. It's receiving, accepting, welcoming. And as Christians, we accept the word, we receive it, we welcome it into our hearts and lives. Like when you welcome a visitor to your home, you accept their presence. You don't just shake their hands on the doorstep. You invite them in. You take them in, show them to the living room, and you give them a cup of tea or a chocolate biscuit. You accept their presence. You humbly, likewise, accept the word planted in you. And like all things that are planted, except some of the plants in our garden, it takes root and there's growth. There's no birth, no beginning without the word. There's no growth without the word. And thirdly, the word planted within us results in action, in doing. Verse 22, which is the key verse of our passage this evening, verse 22. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Do what it says. As I said earlier, the word of God, when preached faithfully, will impact your life in one way or another. Jesus said, didn't he? Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it. Luke 11, verse 28. God chooses us. He saves us. So we obey. That's the order of things. So here's the progression of the word in our lives. The word gives you birth to new life. The word is planted in you and grows you. The word is done in your life. It's obeyed. Birth, growth, doing. That's the progression. God chose you. He saved you. And because you're saved, you obey. But if we don't get it right, if we don't see that progression, if the pattern of birth to growth to doing doesn't happen, James says there's the danger, the very real danger, of Christians being deceived, thinking they can hear the word, but then ignore it. Verse 16, don't be deceived, my dear brothers. Verse 22, don't merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Verse 26, if anyone considers himself religious and yet doesn't keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. His religion is worthless. Hear that. James saying our faith is of no value if the word of truth isn't evident in our lives. True faith will produce actions. The word will be done. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. Otherwise, we're deceived. In verses 23 to 25, James uses the illustration of a mirror, and he makes one negative point and one positive. Verses 23 to 24. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and, after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. So the negative, forgetfulness that deceives. Forgetfulness that deceives. Self-deception's the problem. And we see this all the time, don't we? You only have to look at shows like Britain's Got Talent and The X Factor, so-called talent shows. These people come on and stand in front of the judges and say, they've got what it takes to set the world on fire. And then they open their mouths or they perform. And they're awful. And the judges tell them so. But the thing is, they still maintain that they're brilliant. You're wrong. My granny says, I've got the X Factor. I'll come back and show you. Self-deception. No perception of the truth. It's easy to see in someone else, but it's not so easy to see in ourselves. Christians who merely listen to the word and don't do what it says are just as deceived, James says. It's like looking in the mirror. It's not like the Queen's mirror in Snow White that says she's the fairest one of all. Our mirrors don't do that. Well, mine doesn't anyway. There's always hair sticking up or another spot's appeared. You don't just leave it, do you? You reach for the hairbrush or skin cream. If you don't, you're deceiving yourself. You see, a mirror isn't just there to provide a reflection. It's meant to provoke a reaction. You're meant to do something about it. Otherwise, why look in the mirror? And it's the same with God's word. It was never meant just to be listened to. It's always meant to bring new birth, to be planted, and to be done. So if it isn't done, we're deceiving ourselves. See verse 26. Those who consider themselves religious, if their lives are full of hearing but not doing, their so-called religion's worthless in God's eyes. They're deceived. And it's something we have to beware. Signing up for gym membership won't strengthen your muscles. You have to endure the pain of exercise. Devising a revision timetable for exams won't get you good grades. You have to sit down and learn. We sing, "I have decided to follow Jesus." But is that where it ends? Do we follow? We decide to read the Bible more, go to more meetings, pray more, witness to others, share the word of truth. We decide to do all those things. And that's good. But does decision become doing? If looking in the mirror of God's word doesn't provoke action, James says we're deceiving ourselves. And our religion is worthless to God. Do you hear what he's saying here? How are you going to react? In John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress, Christian and Faithful meet a man named Talkative. This man's heard a lot about Christian matters and talks a lot about it. Listen to what Christian says to Faithful later on. He says, "Talking and doing are two separate things. They're as diverse as the soul and the body. Talkative thinks that hearing and saying will make him a good Christian, and so he deceives his soul. Hearing is only like the sowing of seed. Talking isn't sufficient to prove that fruit is truly in the heart and life. And we can be assured that at the day of doom, when Jesus comes again, men will be judged according to their fruit. It will be said then, 'Were you doers or only talkers?'" End quote. Hearing the word, talking the word, aren't enough. The word needs to be done. I'm not going to ask you to answer these questions out loud. I'm not going to ask you to put your hands up or anything. But try this test. Can you remember what Morris preached on last Sunday morning? Answer that in your mind. Can you remember what Morris preached on last Sunday morning? If I then asked you to, could you come up here and tell us? But the important thing is, the point is this, can you tell us what you did as a result? Can you tell us what you did as a result of what you heard last Sunday morning? Making notes about what you hear is good practice, but don't just make notes intending to revisit them. Do something with them. Maybe underline one thing and do it. That's better than just leaving those notes separate and not doing anything about them. What impact is the word having on your life? Forgetfulness leading to self-deception. Are we deceived? Accepting the word isn't enough. You have to do it. Word accepting means life changing. What changes after hearing God's word? James' second point from this illustration is a positive one. The word of truth gives freedom and doing, the word of truth gives freedom and doing it brings blessing. The word of truth gives freedom and doing it brings blessing. Look again at verse 25. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. To combat forgetfulness and the resulting deception, it's important to look intently into God's perfect law, because the word of truth, the gospel of Jesus, brings freedom and blessing in what we do. Very briefly, the old law, the law in the Old Testament, was given by God to show us we can't put ourselves right with God. It was always meant to show us our need of a saviour, and so lead us to Jesus, the one who lived the perfect sinless life we were supposed to, the one who took the punishment we deserved, the one who became cursed on the cross, the one who defeated death as he rose again, all so that we can know freedom from the chains of sin, so that freedom and blessing can come to the Christian. That is, those who come into him in repentance and faith, sorry for going their own way, and finding forgiveness, trusting only in Jesus' death and resurrection to be saved from judgment and separation from God forever. In the New, Paul writes in Romans 8, therefore there is now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. Jesus sets us free from the chains of sin. The word of truth saves us and sets us free and gives us life. Sin brings death, but the gospel of God's grace in Jesus brings life. So never stop looking intently into God's word, intently into God's word, or you'll forget who you are in Christ and what God wants you to do to obey his word. If you only listen, you're still chained. Use the mirror, the word, to break the chains, to counter forgetfulness and deception, and you'll know freedom and blessing in what you do. Look intently and continuously into the word and make sure you do what's worthwhile and pleasing to God. Because he's got things he wants you specifically to do. Ephesians 2:10. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Born again by the word, accepting the word planted in you, doing the word. As we come to the final section, we have to ask the question, what does God desire? What does God desire? Look back to verse 20. For man's anger does not bring the righteous life that God desires. God desires righteous lives. Lives that are pure and holy. That's what pleases God. You might ask, well, what does that look like? Well, James gives us very practical applications. In verse 19 we read, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. God desires righteous lives. What does that look like? It means that when you're having a discussion, you don't ignore what the other person's saying. You're not arrogant in riding roughshod over their opinions. You show them respect in listening to them. And hopefully they will grant you the same respect when they listen to you, as you speak calmly and convince them of the truth. You've got a choice. Forgetting what the word says and quickly becoming angry, or doing what it says and being prepared to listen and then speak. Perhaps someone does something really annoying. Do you straight away become angry with them? And are you tempted to shout at them? I've preached this to myself, and I am doing so now. Just pushing a shopping trolley around Asda. There are so many annoyances, and I forget what living a righteous life looks like. When I get behind a steering wheel, and people do the most stupid things on the road, I forget what living a life that pleases God looks like. And frustration, and even anger, come quickly. And I'm sure I'm not the only one who experiences situations like this. A reluctant to listen and hastiness to speak and even become angry is not the way to do God's word. Remember, God desires righteousness, and freedom and blessing is found in doing what pleases him. Let's go to verse 21. Where we read, therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent. God desires righteousness. And what's that look like? Getting rid of all moral filth and the evil that's so prevalent. When I was growing up, we had very little reading material. The Beano and Thomas the Tank Engine from the library were about the full extent of it. But now there's masses of magazines and books, many of them containing moral filth, in the words of James. Telly only started at 5 o'clock with Cracker Jack, and it finished by midnight. But with the arrival of hundreds of TV channels and the rapid explosion of material on the internet and social media, much of it is excellent. But with no rules and little monitoring of content, there's unlimited scope for abuse and inclusion of moral filth and evil. Get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent. Just because the society we're living in accepts these things as normal, that doesn't mean they're permissible to us as Christians. It doesn't mean they're morally neutral. They're filth and evil, James says. So get rid. Keep yourself from being polluted by the world. Verse 27. Well, how do you combat this? There is so much of it around. How do you combat this? Paul tells us in Philippians, and I'm quoting from the CSB version again, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any moral excellence, and if there is any praise, dwell on these things. Do what you have learned and received and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. Don't forget what the word says and sleepwalk into self-deception. Do it. Word done. And then in verse 26, if anyone considers he is religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. Some find this more difficult than others. Control what you say, what you talk about. If someone insults you, do you respond with a bigger insult? Do you gossip behind a person's back or spread it on social media? Do you share a secret that somebody's told you in confidence? Do you complain about others? God desires righteousness. What does it look like? Controlling your tongue shows that you've had the word planted in you. You've not forgotten what you've heard, so you're not deceived. And finally, verse 27. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress. Of course, James doesn't mean looking just after orphans and widows and you don't bother about the rest. They're just representatives. They are representatives of all who are in need or in distress. So when we're confronted by such people, what's our response? What does the righteousness that pleases God look like here? When you see those in need, do you look the other way? Do you walk on the other side of the road? Do you give them a wide berth? As those people in some kind of need walk into our church, into TCM, do you ignore them and leave them to someone else to talk to? And you just talk to your friends where it's safe? A righteous life means caring for those in distress, not just looking after yourself. The freedom that comes from doing the word means showing compassion, just like God showed you when you were in need and by his word gave you new birth. If the word planted in you isn't done, James says, you're deceived. So James is holding up the mirror of God's word to you tonight. What does it reflect? What action is it provoking in you? If you're a Christian, the word gave you life when you were dead. It saved you when you were heading towards hell. You're born again. You're saved. You must now do the word, or you won't enjoy the freedom and the blessing that our gracious God wants you to enjoy. Accepting the word must bring changes to your life so you can live the way God desires. So I'm going to suggest that each day you quote verse 22 to yourself. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Let's go through this week doing what the word says. Let's pray.